It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side or the right side.
Good morning, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, the Fansided Network, as well as FinFanatic.com. We are saving the best for last here. We are previewing the Miami Dolphins secondary today with training camp just 10 days away now. Wow. And be sure to join us for our camp battles as well here before that training camp actually kicks off here. So, Paul, the Dolphins last year in pass defense, when you look at the secondary, 23rd in the NFL in total ranking, which is based only on yards, which really highlights how meaningless of a statistic that is. Because I've seen that number thrown around here throughout the summer to say, well, the Dolphins secondary may not be as good as you think. They were 23rd as far as yards allowed. But the more important factors here as far as the Dolphins pass defense and secondary, they were 6th in quarterback rating allowed, 7th in completion percentage, 1st in third down defense, 1st in turnovers. And at cornerback, there were only four teams in the NFL who had more than 8 interceptions out of their cornerback group. The Dolphins had 14 and were tied for 1st in that area. So they dominate the areas that really do matter here in the secondary. But part of that, too, is getting Xavier Howard back.
Attention, listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston. Do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their 4th generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with their Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. Ready for an out-of-this-world experience, fellas? Look no further than the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped that has just taken off not only in the USA, but Canada, the UK, across Europe, Australia, South Africa, and Singapore. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your whole solar system. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your space balls will thank you. It is. I mean, you mentioned the 14 interceptions. You can't mention those without Xavier Howard's 10.
Right.
I mean, he out-intercepted what? How many teams did you just say? Like, it's insane.
4 teams had more than 8 interceptions from the cornerbacks, just the cornerbacks. So the Dolphins had 14, the Patriots had 14, the Saints had 11, and I'm trying to find it. There was a, and the Colts had 11 out of their cornerback group. Not overall interceptions, but yeah, 10 of those were Xavier Howard. And it's insane what Howard's done here, really, over the last. So it's really the end of the 2017 season. So, you know, let me ask you this, Paul. If things go from bad to worse, and I don't think they will with Xavier Howard, you know, people like to reference, I'll get to that in a minute, but what would you be satisfied with in a trade if that were to happen?
Aside from keeping X, it would have to be a couple of first rounders, and I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm with you there.
Maybe I might be able to get my head around a first and a conditional second that could turn into a first if somebody's worried about his knee issues or anything else. But in all honesty, I don't want to do it. I mean, it's we talked about this a lot on our last episode, you know, talking about the defensive front. So we're going to touch on it here, talking about the DBs. But really, I'm okay with paying X up to $22 million a year. I mean, I hate the fact that they just redid his deal. He was advised against doing that. He did it, and now he's in this weird position. I mean, the Dolphins kind of hold all the cards here based on the way his contract is, based on the fines that would hit him. And really, the path of least resistance is to backload a contract at this point, especially since he's already shown that when that contract slides down, he's going to get upset that he's not the highest paid. So have it ramp up, so at least it's him looking forward to being one of the higher paid corners on the team. But I got news for you. There's a possibility he may not be at the end of that contract either.
Right, and that's why I don't want to pay him in his 30s, guaranteed money. I mean, if it's a little bit, that's fine. But 2022, the Dolphins, because the Dolphins have so many draft picks over the last 2 years on rookie contracts and players that will be starting for them, you know, you're going to have two on a rookie contract. You're going to have your entire offensive line on a rookie contract. Jaylen Waddle may be the number one receiver on a rookie contract. That allows you in 2022 and 2023 to give him a little bit more money. And yeah, I go back to the, to me, bozo argument of it sets a bad precedent. No, Xavien Howard was a defensive MVP finalist last year. 10 interceptions, which hasn't been done in a decade. This is something different here. And this is a team and a defense, too, that relies on its secondary to be great more than any other team. I got news for you. If the Dolphins don't have Xavien Howard and they have a C-plus unit next year in the secondary, the Dolphins are not going 500. That is a promise.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that the Dolphins may want to consider and Kanter may go for, because it was Kanter that advised Howard against going after that deal, is basically having that conversation with Howard. Like, look, we can't do it the 1 year after, but you go out and you're even a shade of what you were last year. At the end of this year, we will sit down and we will figure something out, whether that's a trade, whether that's an extension, whether that's a raise. You know, play the COVID card. Play the fact that the cap didn't go up nearly as much as it probably should have this year. Play whatever card you have to. But, you know, kind of basically say, look, we don't want to set a precedent. I know it's a little different. But at the same time, like you just pointed out with the 10 interceptions, that's a precedent I'd love for them to set. Like, hey, you go out and you get 10 interceptions, players, we will reward you. Because I'm fine with giving anybody a raise that gets 10 interceptions in a season.
Right. Well, going back to what you said there, I think we're way past the point here where it's like, hey, X, we're going to pay after the year, because he's not going to fall for that, because in 2022, he's going to be 29. And then I really don't want to extend his contract. So, you know, that's where it comes down to, you know, it's just two ways about it. Number one, I think it's a bad situation where, A, Howard probably could have gotten more money when he was extended in 2019, but he didn't. And then, you know, now he's taken that upfront guaranteed money and he's acting like that never happened here in 2021. So basically, his contract over the next 3 years is 3 years, $40 million, with basically nothing guaranteed. So I understand him wanting a little more. And if this is a respect thing, I think it gets done. Okay, because if it's about just, hey, I want guaranteed money, I've outperformed my contract with how it is now, I get it. If it is a, hey, I want Jalen Ramsey, $20 million, a completely new deal, and I'm not showing up, that's when it could get ugly. I don't think it's going to get ugly, though.
Yeah, there are possibilities of it getting ugly, like you said, but I don't think it does. And at the same time, Ramsey's only $20
million? I think he's 21.
I'm weird. I'm okay with paying a guy that gets 10 interceptions in a season $20 million a year. You know, because it wasn't a freak occurrence that he did either. Like, he's one of the most talented corners in football. We've got a scenario set up where they'll throw at him, you know, because of the play of Byron Jones on the other side. And I'd be okay with $20 million a year, especially with so many guys on rookie deals. And the fact that the cap's going to increase exponentially with the way that the new deals are set up for the extra games, the extra playoff games, the increased TV revenue, things like that, the cap is going to go up a lot and quickly.
Right. I would 10 interceptions a year is difficult. I don't expect him. The odds of him playing 16 or 17 games next year and getting 10 picks are not high. But no. the odds are extremely high that if he stays on the field, he's going to get a lot of them. I mean, this is definitely a pattern. You look at going back to the, I'm trying to do some quick math here. So in the last 36 games, Xavien Howard has 22 interceptions. That is insane. And I'll even go a step further with that. On deep passes, balls traveling over 30 yards, he has not allowed a deep touchdown in 3 years since 2017. That's also insane. When the ball travels in the air, I believe it's 30 plus yards. It might be 40 plus yards. He has had, of the deep passes thrown to him, on 35 deep balls, he has allowed 4 of them to be caught, and he has intercepted 7 himself. He is coming down with the ball on deep passes more than the receiver he's covering with his back to the ball. And it just makes me laugh when people say, oh, I take a first rounder for him. Why? So you can turn around and do more mock draft machines next year? Give me a break. This is a great football player. And if the Dolphins are going to be great over the next 2 years, Xavien Howard has to be part of that, period.
Yeah, and one thing, too, and I know I brought this up before and it's been a while, that always fascinates me with Xavien Howard is you see a lot of these great corners stick to their guy, like just stick to him. You watch Xavien Howard, especially on a lot of these short routes, you'll see him actually intentionally separate from the receiver, knowing his speed, knowing their speed, and knowing how far he can drop back, make the receiver look open, and cut the route, which is insane to me. It's a gamble, but it's a gamble where I haven't seen him lose it yet. It's a pretty cool thing because he does something the other corners don't. He makes the receiver look open. He makes the quarterback's eyes get wide and go, ooh, him, and chuck the ball, and next thing you know, he's going the other way.
Absolutely. That's a great observation, and it's a rare skill set today in the NFL.
Not just rare. It's a skill set I've never seen be used effectively. Like, not rare, like, unique is what I would say. I've seen guys give space. You're not really sure if it's intentionally. They're not able to make up the ground, or you see them just take insane chances trying to jump a route. But I've never seen it be so reliably and planned effective.
Yeah. Kiko Alonso tried to do that at the linebacker.
That requires a lot of thought, and I'm not sure Kiko was there.
Kiko would try to make the guy look open, and oh, no, never mind. He was actually open. So,
and he made him open.
But yeah, even at the safety spot, Rashad Jones, who, I'm sorry, Dolphins fans, I consider the most overrated Dolphin in Dolphins history, who should not have been extended by Mike Tannenbaum. That was a stupid thing to do. I thought he was a very hit-and-miss player. He'd come up with some big plays. He'd have some big hits. But I always said, for every big play he makes, he lets up 3 more. Xavien Howard's not that way. He makes the plays and doesn't let them up, which is just unusual. Opposite of him, Paul, Byron Jones, I think, is really – even with the contract he got, I think he's the most underrated Dolphin we've got here because, PFF rated him 40th out of 80 cornerbacks last year who played 50% of defensive snaps. And I just don't see that. I believe Byron Jones, having him opposite Xavien Howard and them being healthy all year, except for, one or two games with Byron Jones being out, that's what made the Dolphins defense what it was. They were able to lock down both sides of the field. We've got to get that back. And if Noah Igbinoghi does take a step up here, I've heard great things about him coming out of OTAs. Yeah, I mean, that's a phenomenal trio.
It is. And you add to that mix the fact that Nick Needham had a very underrated season last year. I mean, I know he didn't finish the season strong, but overall, Nick Needham was very good last year. They've got Jason McCourty as well to fight for that nickel corner spot. Or, and when you go to a dime, you've got the talent there. Now, what I will say is I'm very curious to see, and I know I'm jumping positions in the secondary here when I say this, Brandon Jones did look good last year. We did get Javon Holland, but Bobby McCain made a lot of the defensive calls and adjustments from that safety spot. And a lot of that, while it is based on, you know, you hand the guy the same play sheet, it's based on what Bobby would see out on the field. Bobby allowed a really low passer rating to his area as well. but it'll be very interesting to see who's making those calls in the secondary. If it's going to be Eric Rowe, or if it's going to be Brandon Jones or Javon Holland. And then if those adjustments have an impact on everything across the board. Because at the end of the day, what they see or don't see is going to be critical as far as those calls go.
Right. And yeah, that's a great point. Both of us would have liked to have seen McCain stay, simply because it's a veteran secondary, and anything that could potentially throw that off as far as calls, as far as production, could be a problem. But I'm hoping that Brandon Jones starts at free safety and rises to the occasion. And he was I have a few questions with Brandon Jones. Does he have the speed and the range and the ability to flip his hips fast enough to get to a spot as that last line of defense? Maybe, maybe not. But what I respect about him is, you know, Brandon Jones is somebody, for people that don't know, when he got hurt his last year at Texas, he contacted all 32 NFL teams and got basically their playbooks. He then, when he was talking to those teams, referenced specifically how he would game plan for a specific opponent on their schedule. And that blew everybody away. And that has a lot to do with why he was a third round pick for the Dolphins, even with the injury. And if the Dolphins hadn't taken him, he was going to go somewhere in the third or fourth round. So football IQ, passion, he certainly has it. And when you look at Bobby McCain, you know, Bobby McCain didn't have a lot of range at the free safety spot, but he was instinctive and he made it work. Brandon Jones needs to get to that point too.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you look at McCain last year, and the example I go back to all the time is that Chiefs game. With Bobby McCain on the field and the help that he gave over the top, and you name it, Tyreek Hill did his damage in the plays where Bobby McCain was on the sidelines. Outside of Bobby McCain being on the side, there was a reverse, I believe.
Yep.
And then there was the deep pass over the top where Clayton Fedulum was, you know, counting on his hands how many downs there were left until he was going to be back out there again on special teams, so he didn't even look. And Tyreek roasted over the top where there should have been help. And for that to be a thing, it's one of those things that doesn't show up in a stat sheet. It doesn't show up in PFF as far as that goes. But the value that he adds against one of, if not the best wide receiver in the NFL, the help over the top, the help up along the sidelines, is huge. Now, you mentioned Brandon Jones, though. One of the things that's intriguing to me, and I didn't realize this till I was setting up for this show, is in very limited action last year, I remember seeing Brandon Jones make a lot of impact plays, some of which show in a stat sheet, some of which don't. I didn't realize he was fourth on the team in tackles with 62 tackles. That's insane.
Who's that?
Brandon Jones, wasn't it?
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, 62 tackles, 41 solo, 21 assists, 3 tackles for loss.
Wow.
The quarterback hit.
Because he was only out on the field for right around 310 plays or so. So he was on the field 30% of the time, and he did that.
And he had a pancake block that allowed a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And Bill in our chat said, you guys are very short-sighted if you're up for a multi-year, $20 million contract for Xavier Howard. No, we're not. This is what happens when you're an A-plus football player. They get paid, and they're expensive. You don't trade them for the possibility to maybe, but probably not, get an A-plus player in a few years. That's No, absolutely not. I couldn't disagree more. Let's go back to the free safety spot. Javon Holland and Brandon Jones. I'd be interested to see if that emerges into a competition at the free safety spot, because I've heard great things about Javon Holland's high football IQ. he's still going to come into the NFL as a rookie. And I'm really hoping Brandon Jones wins that job. And then Javon Holland takes over Brandon Jones's spot really as that third safety. Brandon Jones is able to play in that nickelback role as that big third safety. And that's where I hope that he is. Holland had, in his final 2 years at Oregon, had 9 interceptions. So was one of the best playmakers there in college football in the last 2 years. So, and I think it's important there at the nickelback spot where Holland or Igbinoghene have to really challenge to be that fifth defensive back over Nick Needham. Look, I think Nick Needham did, I call Needham a rosterable player. Okay. I don't want him out there for as many snaps as he has. Over the last 2 years, Nick Needham has played almost 1,400 defensive snaps out of 2,000. He's been on the field 65 to 70% of the time. So absolutely, you can do better than Nick Needham, but I still want him on the roster.
I do too. Now, I want to go back to the safety spot, though, a little bit and talk a little about nickel as well. I'm looking at the nickel a little bit differently. My hope, and I'm going to throw a bold prediction down on this, is by week 5 at the latest, if not the start of the year, Brandon Jones and Javon Holland are going to be starting in the secondary at safety, and Eric Rowe is going to be battling with Igbinoghene, Nick Needham, and McCourty for that nickel corner spot and be the backup safety as well.
It's possible. And I think that's, if it doesn't happen this year, then that's really the vision in 2022 and beyond there. Because Eric Rowe's 29, I believe. He'll be 30 next year in 2022. So the vision is Brandon Jones and Javon Holland as your starting safeties. And that could be a heck of a duo back there. Eric Rowe, too, he's still a really good football player. Up until the last 5 weeks of the season, we called him the tight end eraser. Well, now we call him the tight end eraser unless he's playing Travis Kelce or Darren Waller, which
Travis Kelce, as he said this week.
Yeah, that's right. Travis Kelce. No, it's too late for that. You have a you're 32. You should have made that correction, a decade ago when you were at Cincinnati.
Yeah,
and you have a brother who's probably going to be a Hall of Famer, too. No, you're Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce. End of story. Eric Rowe, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, one thing I want to just go back to with that safety competition, and it's something I know a lot of our listeners have heard me say at other positions before, is if it is close, if it's even close competition-wise between Eric Rowe and Javon Holland, Holland gets the nod. It's because you know who Eric Rowe is. He's only going to get incrementally better if he even does. And Javon Holland has huge upside as far as that goes. So if it's anywhere close, that's where the rookie wins out. That's where the young guy wins out and gets that shot, because right now it's close, and that's without a snap at the NFL level at this point. And if that happens, you will see Eric Rowe unseated. And I love the fact that Chance Parchman brought up Trill Williams in our chat. I know we're going to be talking about him a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I agree with what you said, where Holland's going to get the nod over Eric Rowe, but I don't think it's a competition yet. Holland would have to play absolutely lights out in training camp for it to be a competition. And I don't think that's going to happen yet. But I do think that as the season wears on, and definitely after the season, you're going to start to see Javon Holland take over that role more. And, in the meantime, like we just said with Brandon Jones, if you're the third safety, you can be on the field as that sixth defensive back, 30-35% of defensive snaps as you evolve into that role. This is a heavy defensive back secondary. That's why as the Dolphins are playing in this man coverage, they play more man coverage than just about any other team in the league. That's why the secondary has to be an A. That you cannot walk a weak link or two out there in the secondary, because we saw what happened when, Nick Needham, I wouldn't even say is necessarily a weak link, but he certainly looked like it in the final week against Buffalo when he went up against Isaiah McKenzie. He let up 3 touchdowns to Isaiah McKenzie. You can't. And I got news for you. Josh Allen will not look Xavier Howard or Byron Jones way at all if there is a weak link in the secondary, like Nick Needham showed that he was, at least in the final week of the year.
Yeah, and that's where I don't want to see Clayton Fedgelum out on the field in defensive alignments ever. I'd rather put, you know, a Landon Roberts with an injury back there at safety than.
Well, that's exactly right. You've got Pro Bowl caliber players out there against the Chiefs, and who do they pick on? They pick on Clayton Fedgelum, just like they, you know, a couple years ago they'd pick on Bakari Rambo, just like they'd pick on what was his name, R.J. McClain, few years ago. I still have nightmares about Jerry Wilson from 20 years ago, where in the Monday Night Miracle game, you've got Patrick Surtain and Sam Madison locking down their sides of the field, and Testaverde's just dumping the ball off to wherever Jerry Wilson is on every play. I mean, it is easy to find the weak link in the secondary, and in this division, the Josh Allens are going to find them. So,
and the Bills' offensive coordinators are too, just like they ran the ball down Calvin Munson's throat. In that final week of the season. On third downs, you see people go straight at where Landon Roberts is and use a jump cut to watch him guess in the wrong hole.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what many things I like about this defense here is I don't think we're going to be trotting out many players like Calvin Munson, like Clayton Fedgelum again here. So if they make the team, hopefully they never play on defense, because you've got now you've got Duke Riley ahead of you if you're Calvin Munson. You've got Javon Holland ahead of you if you're Clayton Fedgelum, and that's how we want it. So looking at the depth chart, let's assume Xavier Howard is in the fold here. I see seven locks: Xavier Howard, Brandon Jones, Eric Rowe, Byron Jones as your starting four. Obviously that could change at free safety. Javon Holland, Noah Igbinoghene, and then I've got to say Nick Needham is still a lock, because Nick Needham can play a lot of special teams. Again, almost 1,400 snaps here over the last 2 years, still on a rookie contract, doesn't make a lot of money. He's a lock to me as a seventh defensive back. Any disagreements there?
No, not really. I mean, I probably wouldn't put Needham as a lock, but I put him in the high 80% for making the roster.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'd put it even a little higher than that, but I hear you there. Then after that, let's assume that those top seven guys do it. Then it becomes an interesting competition there, because, you know, I don't know. To me, the competition I'm looking for as far as depth is Justin Coleman against Jason McCourty. Both free agent signings. Justin Coleman back in 2019 with the Lions actually played more snaps than any other player on defense. So he's got a lot of experience there. And I liked Coleman when he was back with the Seahawks. And he was somebody I really targeted when he signed with the Lions. And he didn't play all that well with the Lions, but nobody did. I mean, they draft Jeff Okuda third overall. The guy looks like he's never played football before. Davante Adams was mocking the Lions defense. I knew it was going to happen every play. I knew exactly what play they were going to run based on how they lined up. So didn't put Coleman in a very advantageous position. So I think it would be a really good sign if Jason McCourty came in here during training camp, got some reps, worked with the young guys like Noah Igbinoghene and Javon Holland, but didn't actually make the roster, because it would show that these young players on the bottom of that depth chart are really rising up.
Yeah, no, I'm intrigued by Jaitlin Askew actually as being the guy that could unseat Javon Holland, or not Javon, Jesus Christ, Clayton Fedgelum. Jaitlin Askew doesn't have huge value as a corner. He's small. He's quick as all hell. I can't remember what his exact 40 time was. I was trying to take a peek here, but he was a great special teamer. I think he was one of their special teams captains at Georgia Tech. And he could sneak onto that roster as a much cheaper option to Fedgelum, as far as that goes. And then looking at it as well, I like Trill Williams to potentially make a roster spot here. I know we talked about that. I think this is the year we lose Jamal Perry, Wiltz, Smith, Fredericks, whatever his name is this year.
Keep dreaming, kid.
Yeah, but look, I would keep Nick Needham over him. as far as that goes. And with some of the young talent we've got, the fact that, you know, if we keep Clayton Fedulum, we may end up unseating a corner to do so. I mean, it's very interesting as far as that goes. I think Nate Holley's out. Terrell Bonds is out. Tino Ellis is out. Just taking a peek here.
And they cut Brian Cole the other day, so he's out.
Yeah.
But looking at that, if I could stick right there, Paul, is, yeah, Jamal, I think it's going to be, you've got those top seven locks, and then I think it's going to be a three-way competition with Justin Coleman, Jason McCourty, and Jamal Perry. And out of those three, I would say maybe two make the roster, and one gets cut. And then at safety, yeah, with Clayton Fedulum, I mean, if somebody shows much better positional value at the free safety spot, then I think Fedulum could go. Nate Holley has bounced from the active roster to the practice squad all last season. He's somebody that I think is his biggest competition there, because he can play special teams, obviously, but maybe able to offer more on defense. Yeah, Jaitlin Askew, like you said, that's a great observation there. I didn't know that about his special teams ability there at Georgia Tech. Same thing. Javaris Davis, too, was on the Dolphins practice squad last year after being released from the Chiefs. Vontae Davis's cousin, actually. And he's somebody that I remember last year before the 2020 draft, I was expecting him to get drafted. He went to the Senior Bowl. He was a late invite to the Senior Bowl, and he looked like one of the best cornerbacks there all week. So he does have speed. He does have some ability. He's got the bloodlines. Maybe he pokes his head into the race too. So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the bottom of that depth chart. It's going to be a lot of interesting competition.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Javaris Davis. He's a guy that I know we both were intrigued by going into the draft as a late rounder. And really, if he can win something out with that nickel spot, I mean, he's coming in with a leg up. He understands the defense already. So it'd be interesting to see where he's at with that. But yeah, no, like, this secondary is going to look better no matter who we line up this year as well, and it's something we brought up in the last episode, given the fact that we should have a better pass rush this year with Van Ginkle getting more snaps, with Jalen Phillips now in the fold. I think Zach Sealer is going to get more snaps, getting that push up the middle there with Raekwon Davis. And you've still got Emmanuel Ogba out there, so there's going to be a pass rush, and that's going to allow the defensive backs to thrive, because the less time that they have to cover, the better their coverage is going to be.
Right. And to piggyback on that, that's why it's so important to have Xavien Howard in the fold, because when you look at this defense, if you have Howard there, all of the stars could align. And what I mean by that is, we're not going to, I mean, Xavien Howard's 28, Byron Jones will be 29 this year, I believe. So in 2 years, when Howard and Jones are in their 30s, we're probably having a different conversation about them. And so if you can get Noah Igbinoghene to break out this year, and the reports are true, and he's a much better player this year, and he's your third cornerback, and you have Howard and Jones still in their prime, this is the year to have that, because things are going to be different in 2 years. And then at pass rush, Emmanuel Ogba is going to be a free agent after the year. He's either going to, you know, go somewhere else, or he's going to be here with the Dolphins, where he's re-signed for a lot of money. And you've got him on a reasonable contract now, Ogba, and then you've got Jalen Phillips on the other side as a rookie, and Andrew Van Ginkle for the pass rush. So you might be able to really get to the quarterback just with four guys, but then blitz when you want to, and have the secondary to lock down opposing receivers. So you could see, you know, a top five Dolphins defense again here this year.
You absolutely could. And it's all going to come down to injuries. It's going to come down to X's contract. But I think Miami's going to put a lot of points on the board. They're going to force teams into situations where they have to throw. You look at the wide receiver room, you look at the tight end room, and putting points on the board forces other teams to throw the ball. I'll never forget, I think it was 8 or 10 years ago, I hated whenever a Raiders game came on, because I had to listen to these analysts talk about the fact that their pass defense was phenomenal. And the real reasoning behind that wasn't the personnel, it wasn't their pass defense itself, it was the fact that they were down by four scores by halftime, and teams weren't throwing the ball. Like, it's like, yeah, wow, they're allowing the least amount of passing yards, but no one has to throw the damn ball. I think Miami's going to force teams to have to throw, which is going to allow guys like Agba, guys like Jalen Phillips, guys like Andrew Van Ginkle to pin their ears back on some downs and really put the secondary in an even more advantageous position, which is why I'd be willing to, like, I keep talking about cutting Clayton Fedgelum. The money you save there, you throw X's way and we're good. It's just like,
well, that's just it. Is it, if it's over, if it's about respect and it's about, you know, a handful of million dollars, then it's got to get done. It's too advantageous for both sides. And a lot of people have kind of freaked out with Xavier Howard in that they've said that, on his social media, he made some sort of something on his Instagram where he said, you don't know what, something along the lines of, you don't know what you have until it's gone, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not looking at that too strongly. And the reason is because in 2019, he took all of his Dolphin stuff off Instagram, which to me was a stronger message at the time. And lo and behold, a month later, he signed a 5-year contract with the Dolphins. Okay. He is using social media to leverage his position in today's world. He can do that, you know, and he will do that. But I'm not alarmed by that, at least not yet.
Yeah, and one other good thing I'll say too, like, I know a lot of folks get worried whenever a Dolphins player signs David Kanter as their agent. One thing I like about David Kanter is if he does somehow get this deal done for X, he's also not afraid to look the guy in the face and say, if X comes to him next year and goes, hey, let's renegotiate again. He's not afraid to look at a player in the face and say, I love you. We can't do that. Like, that's a no-go. And that's one of the things I do like about him is he's got his finger on the pulse. Like I said before, he told X not to renegotiate last year so he could renegotiate this year more easily. And Howard didn't listen last year and didn't hire him. So now he went back and hired him this offseason because he realized he knows what he's talking about. And so that's something that I like about the fact that he's got Kanter as his agent if they're able to get a deal redone.
Let me tell you what I like about David Kanter being his agent. Nothing. Because I respect David Kanter as an agent. If I liked him being his agent, he wouldn't be good at his job. But to me, the alarming thing and what from the beginning was that he switched agents from Bilbo to David Kanter. That means you mean business on that. Yeah. And yeah, this is something he's very serious about and he wants to get something done. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. If it's about respect, then I think he'll get it from the Dolphins. But I see in the chat here, somebody said, maybe Howard just wants out. No, he doesn't. No. He does not want out.
He just wants money.
This is about money. 100% about money. And I think at the end of the day, he's going to get it. So we'll see what happens there. A few other things about, I see a few things in the chat, comments about run defense here. Yeah, the Dolphins could be better in that. They were, just to give you some stats here, against the run last year, they were 16th in yards allowed, 18th in yards per carry to everyone, 15th in yards per carry to opposing running backs, and 20th in yards per carry to opposing starting running backs. But a lot of that occurred in the first 4 weeks of the season, before Raekwon Davis really stepped up. And, yeah, you know, I don't think – I'm not a believer in building your team to stop the run. I hope that you can commit few resources to stopping the run and being – at least decent at it. And I think that the Dolphins are there. And you add Bernardrick McKinney to the mix here, who's 6'5", 250 pounds. That's his specialty. And I think he's going to be a big upgrade from Landon Roberts there in that spot too. But yeah, you can always be better at it.
Yeah, no, and the Bernardrick McKinney thing upgraded two spots because it opened a window for Andrew Van Ginkle, who flashed a lot of special promise last year. And it upgraded the Landon Roberts spot next to Jerome Baker. Jerome Baker's an ascending talent who I like a lot. And you're right about the run defense thing. If you're focusing all your resources on stopping the run, you're planning to play from behind a lot. Like, it's just that simple. And actually, before we move on any further, I do want to mention, guys, MetLife Takeover Tickets are on sale. It's the weekend of November 21st, I believe, at this point. Great opportunity to go watch a game with a few thousand Dolphins fans at the Jets Stadium. These guys raised tons of money for charity. They raised over $10,000 last year. They've got a lot of times Joe Rose does a show from the tailgate. Sam Madison's gone to the game with us. Terry Kirby, Tom Garfinkel comes out. All the local beat reporters that are up there tend to come out to the tailgate and hang out. The Marx Brothers were out there a couple years ago. I'll be up there this year yet again. If you're anywhere in the area, you guys got to come. We will get Cat out to that one of these years. We will get Cat out to it one of these years.
Absolutely. One of these years for sure. With a one-year-old at home probably isn't the right time right now. But I will certainly one of these days. No doubt about that. Dolphins NYC does great work there. And I love playing when the Dolphins are playing at New York every year because I want to see how loud those Dolphins fans are going to be in the Jets stadium. Kevin Clements and Chad, we appreciate your comment there, but we've got over 100 people here in the Dolphins YouTube chat this morning on a Saturday morning. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to stick with Saturday morning long term or not, but it works well now. I'm up at 5:30 because I
are a disgusting human being.
I mean, I've got a one-year-old. Look, at 5:30, it doesn't matter if I go to bed at 9 o'clock or if I go to bed at 3 a.m. 5:30 a.m., my one-year-old's going to be up. My two dogs are going to be up, and my wife's going to be up. So I don't have a choice in that matter. So this works well now, and you can always catch the replay as well on the back end. So thanks, everyone, for joining us here. Paul, anything else jump out to you here from the Dolphins secondary?
Not really. I mean, it's going to be a few exciting battles to watch. I'm very curious to see how much Igbinoghene has progressed. And God, I really do hope we get X back. Like, people can, the dead time right now has people speculating that he's already out the door. We don't know that yet. Like, we don't know that yet. It's been very quiet, and that leads to a lot of useless speculation, which catches on in the era of social media. Let's just see what happens there, see how it plays out.
And this is part of the dance here between the Dolphins and Xavier Howard. I mean, I don't blame Howard for trying to get a little bit more money because he is not going to get this opportunity in 2 years to do that. This is his last opportunity to get more money. He's coming off an unbelievable season where he should have won Defensive Player of the Year. And for the Dolphins, if they had just handed it to him on day one, I would have no respect for Chris Greer and how he does his job. So this is part of the dance here. And I think we're going to see something get done in August. And the position I like that the Dolphins are in and what Greer does is all players are open for trade. If you blow me away with the trade offer, you give me a Laremy Tunsil type package. Yeah, we might trade Xavier Howard, but you're going to have to do that. And I don't think any other team is going to do that. If I were to make a prediction of a team that might cough up a lot for him, if it came down to it, it'd be the Arizona Cardinals. Because they have added a lot of veteran players here this offseason, like the AJ Greens and James Connors, these guys who have been in the league for a while. They really do want to win now because Cliff Kingsbury's on the hot seat. They're very, very weak at the cornerback spot. They typically don't trade first rounders, but they haven't drafted a lot of good first rounders here over the last 10 years either. So I don't expect him to get traded. You never know. John, thank you very much for the donation there, and we appreciate all you guys here, and thanks for joining us. Be sure to join us next week where we're going to go through, it's probably going to be a little bit of a longer show, we're going to go through the training camp battles here, really from top to bottom, things to look out for before training camp. May be here next Saturday, otherwise you're going to have to catch us throughout the week. We'll be sure to send an announcement on that. But that's going to do it for our breakdown of the Dolphins secondary. I'm Brian Cat NFL on Twitter. Paul is Fanatic_Pick. Be sure to check us out as well on Twitter, Facebook, all of our social media outlets, the Fansided Network, FinFanatic.com. And if it is not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.